Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. Do you realize there's a war going on? And we're in it. We're in it. We are struggling to find our way amidst all kinds of attacks on our civilization, our environment, economy, so many different ways that our lives are jeopardized. And we're fighting against it, but we don't realize that there's a bigger picture here. Mm-hmm. There's a bigger picture of the forces that are striving to undermine our well-being, and we don't know that they're in league. They appear to be, but we don't know that they really all talk to each other, and they might, but they're certainly in alignment with each other to make our lives a lot more difficult. And we're coming into a time where we really need to come back to our power of the light within ourselves, of the power of the emerging energies that we need to use to defeat these covert forces. And to help us understand kind of the big picture of this is the author on the show today of a wonderful new book. It's a book series. This is the first of a series that is all about this. And the book is called Legacy. And on the phone we have with us Jude Kuravan, the author. Jude, welcome.
It's lovely to be with you, Peter. Thank you.
I loved reading your book. It's so full of everything I want in you know, the whole dynamic of the dark versus the light, and the light carrying such pressures to win, and the drama, the suspense of every move in the book, whether the dark forces are going to win or not. And you wrote it so beautifully that I was totally immersed in it and enjoying every minute. So I'm glad that you've started this three-part series, and I'm looking forward to the next book that comes out later this year. So let's talk about what you're up to. Who are you anyway, and why would you write a book like this?
Well, that's quite a long story. I grew up in the north of England, the daughter of a coal miner. My dad passed over when I was 10 years old, so my widowed mum brought my brother and myself up. But from the age of four, I've had what I call multi-dimensional experiences. When I was four, this incarnate light literally came into my room. And at 4 years old, hey, you know, it's a natural thing. So that was fine.
Right. What did you know?
Well, exactly. What was not to know? You know, it just seemed natural and normal. And I feel it is. And so many kids have those sort of experiences, but for different reasons, they're shut down. Society shuts us down. And I think part of, the deliberate aspect of that, or the non-deliberate aspect of that, means that we literally dismember our psyche. We pull into smallness instead of expanding and remembering the greatness of who we all are, who we really are. And from that first experience, when I was 4 years old, it began a journey really for me, an inner and an outer journey. It's taken me around the world. It's taken me through many different realms. I trained as a scientist. I've got a master's in quantum physics and cosmology. I trained as an accountant and had an international business career. I did a PhD in archaeology, researching ancient cosmologists. And I now work as basically a waker-upper, I guess. And so I've written five non-fictional books all about the shift of consciousness and our evolutionary opportunities and the bigger picture, as you describe it. But I just felt really cool to write a fictionalized version of what I feel is happening now and unfolding. And of course, I wanted to sort of bring in my own experiences over the last nearly 60 years of walking between worlds. And that's what really Legacy is about, is the first book. in what may be a three, it may be more than three, books of the Heritage of the Dragon series. And in fact, Legacy is actually written in three parts. So you can already read the first three parts of Legacy. And then the second book, as you say, is out later this year, and that's going to be called Awakening. So that's the story so far.
Right. Well, that's wonderful. And it's interesting that you bring together so many different disciplines into your work. And, you know, that it's cosmology, quantum physics, archaeology, and spirituality in ways that, so it's metaphysics as well. And so that's why Legacy is really working with higher frequencies of people who are connected to the legacy of spirituality. And the heroine of the book is this incredible woman who only finds out later on that she's so amazing. And yet she is carrying the sword for humanity to fight off these dark forces that pervade this story that you wrote. And it's amazing how you do personify these terrible people in very clear ways. We know they're the bad guys, and we know who the good guys are. What I love is that there is still opportunity, and you wrote a book called Hope. And there is even this book. I think the journey of the light against the dark is obviously those of us who are reading it. It's not going to be about the dark winning, but they might win certain stages of the battle. But I'm presuming that they're not going to win the war.
I think that's a fair assumption. Having said that, what I really wanted to write and how I wanted to write was beyond judgment, because in my own journey, and I've written about it in my other books, Peter, I've come to a point in my own perspective where I don't judge the light and the dark. I just see it playing out and recognise that it plays out in its totality within all of us. And for me, the shadow, as it were, is a part of us that is fear-based. And so for me, the opposite, as it were, or the polarity of love isn't hate, it's fear. And as a healer as well, I found that most people who behave badly behave so out of fear. A fear of a lack of security, a fear that means if they don't win, they lose. You know, it's a very polarized, very dualistic perspective of the world.
Right, so but fear is really, fear is promoted among the public, and so it's like we can't blame people for having fear because it's part of the propaganda of the darker forces. Keeping the population under control.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And what the really books are talking about or trying to share is an empowering message that says, yeah, this is how it is, because these folks are coming in a place of fear. And if you fear something, you try and control it, or you try and control the situation. So when you understand that fear and control are sort of connected in that agenda, then really it's about freedom from our own fear. It's about releasing ourselves from our own fear, because only then can we be empowered to be free. And so the book ultimately, the whole series just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, but also more and more and more personal, in a sense of resolution, in a sense of reconciling and transcending the dualities that we all play out in this, you know, in this game of polarity that's been going on so long, and find a way through to a wholeness, to a remembering of who we really are.
Well, we can look at many opportunities to challenge the status quo, and also that's one thing, and the other is to enhance our own sense of self and empowerment and also to see the bigger picture, that we are not just here for this one lifetime. We actually are larger than what we know about ourselves. And another thing that really gives me a lot of comfort about what I see going on in the world is that everybody has chosen to come here.
Yeah.
And to play out the roles that they've chosen to play out.
Exactly.
And there's a reason for it, and in the larger way. I think that we are in a very dense reality here that has to be very polar, that has to hold the density in ways that are unkind to us. And we do that on purpose. But we're coming to a time where this planet won't be so dense and we won't live in such polarity. And we don't have to come here for such hard lessons of love that we've come here for. And I think, and I've had guests on the show who are astral travelers and have talked about what they've been taught were the lessons of life, which is really to enhance our light through working in this darkness here and going deeper to find our light because it's such a dark planet.
I think there's all of that, and I agree with you, and that, you know, we are coming to, you know, we're coming to the end of that epoch, in my perspective. And so all of the past, essentially, all the emotional traumas of the past are really ready to be healed and released. And playing out that duality has embedded so much trauma within our psyche. And my own sense is that we're actually undergoing the potentiality of a releasing process that really does enable us to be free of the past in that sense.
Well, we're learning who we truly are.
Exactly.
This consciousness.
Literally remembering who we really are.
Right. And this consciousness is what's going to be able to drive the future.
Exactly.
Because we're going to hold our larger self. And the oneness of all, and to see the God light in each person, and understand that these are just roles that we've been playing out in this density that need to stop as our planet moves forward. And
that's Eleanor's journey. You know, that's exactly Eleanor's journey. And you mentioned that she is extraordinary, but she's no more extraordinary than anybody else is.
Well, Eleanor,
she's very ordinary and very extraordinary, as we all are.
Right. Eleanor actually was an extraordinary scientist in your book.
Yeah, but she's a klutz.
She's a what?
She's a total klutz.
Klutz.
She goes anywhere near anything, it breaks.
Right, right.
Relationships.
Right. She, and then all of a sudden she has to become the heroine against these dark forces. And it's a great responsibility that she had to question. And certainly she had a group, a society and family supporting her who understood her job in this life to carry the sword. And so we can all think of ourselves that way.
Exactly, exactly. And that was really the reason that I put her in that position, because I wanted to inspire and empower folks to realize the hero within all of us, within everyone. It's really when we move
right.
away from fear, when we've just either had enough of being fearful,
well,
we just begin to wake up and remember that we're far more than we thought we were.
Right. So what the truth is that once we understand the roles we're playing,
yeah.
we can become our own heroes by
exactly.
utilizing the tools of our light and our love and our all kinds of lessons that we're being taught about forgiveness, self-forgiveness, and forgiving others, and sharing light and sending light and you know, maybe that's really more valuable than trying to tell the truth about the darkness, because the darkness is so powerful in the way that it it insists that it's right. You know, in terms of, for instance, in terms of pharmaceutical companies, in terms of agricultural companies, and you know, the way that and our food and ecology and global warming. And, you know, there's so many things that we're told not to believe. And there are all kinds of other dark conspiracies going on that if you start to believe in any of them, you're called a conspiracy theorist and you're put down for it. You know, people are programmed to shut down anytime somebody is questioning these darker forces at work.
I think that's very, very much the case. But I mean, the reason that, you know, I do the work I do and the reason that I write the books that I do, both non-fiction and fiction, is to help people get beyond that, to get people, as you say, to wake up to the divine love and the divine reality of who they really are. And that's so empowering and so inspiring. And the reason it's so important, I feel like you do, Peter, is that, you know, when we live in fear, we're able to be controlled. You know, we give our power away, basically. And yet when we actually come from a place of love, we know that everything is interconnected. We do start to see the bigger picture and ultimately the resolution of everything within a whole world. As we do that, we can step into our own empowerment.
Right, and to learn how the mind talk goes on and how we speak with each other and understand that how we use our language. I think a lot of language that goes on this planet that's not serving us is tribal language.
Yeah.
That divides us and instead we should be using collective language that includes everybody. And so there's so much that needs to be transformed, and it feels like it's happening too slow. At least in your novel, things happen very quickly.
I think when things are ready to change, as we found, you know, we think going back some years to the Berlin Wall. I mean, up to almost when it happened, nobody believed that the Russian, you know, the Soviet Empire would fall and the Berlin Wall would fall. And yet it did. And what I found in my work as a cosmologist and a scientist as well as a mystic, there's something, I study complex systems, whether it's biological ecospheres or human societies or the whole world. And you basically get a system that becomes unstable. And it gets to a point, and in science it's called a bifurcation point, big word, but what it means is it's a tipping point. And at that tipping point, all the energies, all the information, all the consciousness, everything within that system is ready to do one of two things. It will either fall into chaos, or it actually undertakes this amazing evolutionary leap into a higher level of coherence. And I feel that's where we're at now. And I don't know which way it's going to go, but my vote is for the coherence. My vote is for that leap of consciousness. You know, up to that point, when you study complex systems, it seems as if nothing is likely to change, or it's changing slowly, or it's not really happening. And then suddenly it does. It's kind of like boiling water. It seems to take forever, and then suddenly it's boiling. Or it's like, as I say, the fall of the Berlin Wall, or breakthroughs.
Well, sometimes
that's what I'm talking about. Right. You can see that it can never happen, and then suddenly it does. And we look back on it and go, yeah, of course.
And sometimes it takes an extreme event. Because these systems they do have their glitches. No system is perfect. And sometimes when there are extreme events, it forces the glitches to expose themselves.
And then depending on the, for me, the bigger picture, and for me, the bigger picture is we are ready to take the shift of consciousness as a collective psyche. Then you're right, something often really triggers that. But you know, in complex systems, they're non-linear. So it doesn't actually have to be a major event. It can actually be what seems to be a very tiny thing but it blows, it spreads. It's like something on the internet going viral. It's that sort of tiny beginning sometimes that can actually have a massive outcome.
Well, and there's also a consciousness that evolves when we're being fooled for too long.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Because what's happening, you know, apparently is like the surface of the ocean. What's really going on, as you know, if you look beneath the surface, is those great tides of change, which are when, you know, as a diver, as a scuba diver, I know you just can't resist them. You have to go with them. And I think there's a lot more going on beneath and beyond the surface of what we see around us than most folks are aware of. But that's changing too, because people are becoming more and more aware of other realms of experience and of the bigger picture of what's really going on.
Well, and it's true, and we're now past 2012 and even past 2013. And so we're really in the midst of finding our footing in a changing world and watching how it is, realities are shifting, and it's becoming more and more obvious what doesn't work and what we need to be aware of. Because I don't know that all of this great plan to dominate and to diminish life on this planet by, for instance, just having the pharmaceutical companies and the medical establishment dominate us with drugs, we're now finding the drugs are really bad. You know, I mean, we've been saying that for a long time, but the public is starting to see that they're not working so well. And so
it's a bit like the Emperor's New Clothes, isn't it? When you get someone, and I think it's when it's a certain number of folks wake up to this, then it's within our collective and it spreads. As I say, it's sort of this understanding, I think, it's on the brink of going viral and it within our collective psyche. But the thing that I think is really crucial is what you said earlier, which is that we don't respond from fear of that awareness, we respond with love. And we don't respond actually through conflict. We actually sing a better song. We actually, you know, come forward with solutions and just better ways of being together, more inclusive, more compassionate, more caring. Yeah, that's singing a better song rather than just trying to conflict against the old paradigm that I think is going to die. About, you know, it's losing energy. I think it's going to maybe not go quietly, but I think its sustenance is being pulled away from it.
Right, and that's because we have people on this planet like Eleanor in your book, who are carrying the sword of truth and power and light, and have to learn to believe in themselves. And we all do. We just have to trust.
We all do. We're all potential animals. We're all of us.
We have to trust the process of the unfoldment. And so authors like you and many, many people I've had on my show are great opportunities for people to learn who we truly are and how we are. I had a dream archaeologist. You might know him, Robert Moss, who you probably could work with him and do some great work together. He travels through his shamanic dreaming to ancient times to find lost information and bring it back and work with current archaeologists and anthropologists. So there are a lot. So he's an example of where we have to go within ourselves to believe in ourselves better, to understand our greatness, that our minds are much greater than we've ever given them credit for, and our awareness and our hearts. And we need to trust that we can just draw from them. And so it's wonderful when authors like you are reinforcing that and helping people believe.
Well, you know, I always remember, I think it was Jung was asked on his deathbed whether he believed in God, and he said no. And everybody sort of drew back in shock, and he said, actually, I know God. And I guess for me, all that I write about is based on my own experience. I mean, it's my research, it's my studying, it's all it. But but so much is on direct experience. And that, I think, is so important for all of us. Because, you know, they say a picture is worth 1,000 words, but an experience is worth 1,000 pictures. So people are waking up. They are having experiences, whether it's synchronicities or communicating with other realms or whatever. And every one of us, each in our own way and yet part of our collective journey, is undertaking this remembering process. And I think the more folks can share it and be open about it, and explore it, the more and the quicker, which is the point you're making, we can all wake up and really move into a wonderful new era right. of humanity.
Right, and then this whole thing about Jung and God is, what I just realized is that, you know, God is a collective God, not a tribal God.
Exactly.
And so if we can hold the collective nature of God in the collective itself, then exactly. that's a huge light to share with everybody.
Yes, it is. And it's as Albert Einstein said, you know, he perceived God as cosmic mind, and a lot of my scientific writing is based on the emerging vision of the whole world as a holographic, consciousness is everything. Everything right. that we call reality is consciousness exploring itself holographically.
Right.
So I'm just about to start my next book called The Cosmic Hologram, but it's nonfiction, but takes that whole understanding forward.
No, that's very powerful. And I think we really need to see that we have created this universe and this planet to fulfill certain journeys of our souls to enhance our light, and we're here to do that, so let's be doing that rather than in the fear of light diminishing itself.
Exactly. And recognizing that, you know, literally all that we call reality is ultimately a whole world where all the light, all the shadow is the way of experiencing each other and experiencing the world. You know, no light without shadow, no shadow without light. Ultimately, we can transcend that apparent duality and remember the unity
right.
of all that is and has ever been, will be, all that who we really are.
Right. Well, we only have about a minute and a half left, and I want to come back to your book, Legacy, Part 1, because I want to promote that. What?
All three parts of Legacy are actually out.
Oh, okay. Well, I read Part 1. I loved it and I'm very excited about it. So Jude Curivan, Curivan, first name Jude, and what's your website?
It's my name, www.judecurivan.com. It's really simple.
Okay, great. So I hope everybody will visit that and get your book and read Legacy. And thank you so much for being a guest on Energy Stew. It's so great talking with you.
Oh, it's been wonderful speaking with you. Thank you so much, Peter. Thanks, everyone.
Okay, thank you. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org, or 212-222-7748. Class is going on, all kinds of opportunities. I'd love to hear from you, and thank you so much for listening.